Welcome to The Wild Hunt. We are an unofficial podcast having a casual conversation about the History Channel television series Vikings. We are No Ship Network. I'm your host, Steve.
I'm Em.
I'm Paul.
If you want to be part of the conversation, you can reach us at our website at noship.net. Just click on our contact page and it will direct you to the various means you can reach us. If you want to support us, the best way is to rate and or review us on iTunes.
Yeah, like, please rate or review us on iTunes. It's been a while since we've had some reviews or ratings, so.
Have we gotten any for season one, or has that all been for season two?
I don't know. I think
it's all been season two.
Okay. Yeah, if you guys are listening and you like us, I mean, don't.
It takes a second.
Yeah, it just takes a second. Don't be afraid.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right, thank you for joining us today. We are talking about Vikings season one, episode 8, Sacrifice, and it's written by Michael Hurst, directed by Ken Garrody. This episode, or you guys want to say your thoughts on this episode before we get into the recap?
It was a change of pace that was welcome, you know, because I didn't know how they were going to progress in the rest of the show. Because, I mean, it ends it to where you're like, okay, Ragnar's the Earl. He's been successful. I didn't quite know how, you know, what direction they were going to take it, and I enjoyed it to see more.
Sacrifice. This was a tough one for me. Spoiler alert. This is the one where Mara Jade dies. Wait, I'm just kidding. This was another great episode. This was directed by the same guy that did the last one, right? Because he's doing these two or these three?
I thought it was three.
Each one had three.
This was a really well done episode. There was another one where the cinematography was markedly different from the ones previous to it, especially with the scene at Uppsala where they're, you know, doing the psychedelics.
Yeah.
That was definitely a little bit off the beaten path for this show, but it works.
Oh, absolutely.
And this is a significant episode in a few ways, especially for Athelstan's character.
Mm-hmm. And Legarethos, too.
It also is some important kind of mile markers for some other characters. It's the introduction of King Horik, and this is where Ragnar starts to... Ragnar's starting to be a little bit of a bad husband in this episode. He's not really being the guy that we know and love and can totally get behind. It's a little bit frayed on the edges as far as...
Yeah, how he's being toward Lagertha.
Can say more about it in the spoiler section.
I remember when the first time I watched this episode, this episode has resonance. Like, it sticks with you after for various reasons. Because it's beautifully filmed. It has beautiful music, as we'll talk about later, but it also has this ick feel to it because of the horror movie vibe with all the blood. And even though they don't show a lot of it, I just remember having that feeling after I've watched some horror movies where I feel a little just disturbed. So the episode opens with Ragnar back in Kattegat and he's in deep thought. Athelstan is there and Ragnar explains to him why the Scandinavians make a pilgrimage to Uppsala. This is something they do every 9 years. They go to give thanks and sacrifices. Ragnar originally had not planned to go, but with the news of his unborn son's death, Ragnar now needs to go find out why he has angered the gods.
Plus, you figure he's an earl, he would have to go, you know?
Yeah, because it seemed like all of the adults in the village and some of the, like, adolescents were going as well. So it was kind of incumbent upon him to do this.
He's Ragnar Lothbrok. He does what he wants.
I do what I want.
He asks Athelstan what do Christians do? And Athelstan quotes the Bible about how all sorrows will pass, basically. I don't know how Ragnar received that. You don't really get an impression of his thoughts on that particular, but it just seems trite. All sorrows will pass. Time will tell.
Thanks for nothing.
Yeah, just wait. Oh, great. More waiting.
Time heals all wounds. Which it's true. It's really true, but I just find it to not be very comforting when you're in the midst of...
Yes, of woe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ragnar asks Athelstan to join him and his family to Uppsala. And Athelstan agrees to go, and Ragnar says that he would have taken him anyway.
Yeah.
Well, he gives him an option at first. He's like, not an option, but he says, he kind of pokes at him. He's like, would you rather stay here and pray to your God? And he's like, no, I'll go with you gladly. And he's like, that's good to hear, because you were going to go anyway.
Rope or not.
Lagertha is receiving gifts from the people. They are asking for prayers and blessings. Ragnar watches from afar, and Lagertha leaves the task with Gita, and she walks over to Ragnar and asks if he is not happy about Uppsala. It is clear that Ragnar is deep in grief over the loss of his son. Lagertha says they can have more sons. He says, have we not tried?
Ooh. So was this a jibe at her, kind of? Or does he completely blame the gods for this misfortune, or does he lay a little bit of it at her feet?
I'm sure it is a little bit at her feet. Huh. Now, I don't think, like, heavily, but just being in that kind of state of mind, you're going to start thinking a little irrationally also. Like, what did you do? What could have happened? Mm-hmm. The gods, I'm sure, but there's going to be that little bit of, you know, in the back of your mind.
Well, he wants it so much, so he's just thinking, you can't give me what I want.
Yeah.
We've tried, apparently. I mean, I don't know how much time has passed, you know, since the loss of her child. And
well, they were able to, at least a couple of weeks. It's going to be a couple of weeks to a couple of months because Athelstan's hair is different.
His hair sucks in this episode. I hate his hair in this episode.
But it's grown out
Plus
a significant.
Plus, they came back from England.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
a few weeks.
They had to come back from England. And if you look at Athelstan, is kind of, he doesn't really have too much of a role to play in the previous episode, King's Ransom. But when Lagertha is passing judgment on that couple and their baby, he's sitting there and you can kind of see through his facial expressions what he thinks of it. And his hair is pretty different than it is in this episode. So I would say there's probably a good at least 2 months have passed since the events in the previous episode.
I don't like his hair in this episode. I don't like his beard and I don't like his clothes.
Yeah.
Like everything is just looks stupid. I bet like Ragnar grabbed a bunch of like British clothes. He's like Athelstan will like these, and they're like they don't even go together in an outfit, you know?
Like when your mom buys you clothes and you're a teenager, it's like corduroys. Come
really?
On,
they white don't even, shoes.
They don't even go down to my ankles. They're highlighters. What is it?
Dark blue jeans and a white belt. Fuck.
It, oh, you know,
working for it was, you.
It was sweet of them to think about it, but you know, at the end of the day, it's just
He went to England, Kmart, and bought them.
We have to make one stop before we go back across.
Athelstan will love these.
So meanwhile, Athelstan unearths his hidden Bible.
That thing's looking wore out.
Yeah, it's falling apart.
Just like his faith, I think.
Nice.
Yeah.
Paris.
Yeah. I think, you know, if you put something on a shelf for too long and you don't tend to it, like it needs, you know, because I think human faith in things that we don't really know if they're there for sure, which is the nature of faith, I understand. But it needs to be, it's like a fire that needs to be tended. And if you neglect it and you leave it alone, it starts to fall to decay.
Yeah, I've heard it to where it's like filling the cup, you know?
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And you, that's a good way to put it. And it's like, I think he put his Christian faith away and tried to at least, with some sense of earnestness, embrace this new culture faith because he's resigned to his position. He's here. He's not going anywhere.
Plus, he's a scholar. He wants to learn as much as he can.
Yeah, that,
you know?
Yeah, that's an aspect of it as well. He's intellectually curious about what's going on. And I think then when he goes back to it in a time where he's like, oh, well, I'm about to go do this religious trek with these people, and I don't know if I really completely buy into it. But then he goes – he's stuck in this middle spot, I think. He's like in the middle – of the road, because on one hand his Christian faith is kind of rotted away, as and I think the Bible is there to present like a not allegory is not the word, but I guess a illustrative example of it, I guess. And then, you know, but he's obviously not like fully committed to the Viking faith yet.
Yeah, and I think at the end we have one line from Ragnar which I think reinforces his faith toward the Christian God at the end.
Yeah, so it's a little bit of, we know, I can't really say anything else on it. I guess we could say that for the spoiler section.
Okay.
Spoilery.
Yeah, very.
Okay, so next we have Ragnar and his procession navigating the tough terrain on their way toward Uppsala. They soon mount a crest and see Uppsala in the distance. Upon arrival, bells ring, and everyone is happy to have arrived. They walk further into Uppsala, and we see men in religious-looking garb. And Lagertha asks Ragnar, does he know, with a quick camera cut to Athelstan?
Nope. Does he know what?
Yeah. He who? Oh, Athelstan.
Did you bring the bread? No? He's got a pocket full of the Christian wafer things. These?
They enter the temple. The temple's priests hail their gods and flick blood on everyone. I'm assuming it's blood.
Yeah, probably is, with all the animals around that are, you know, constant sacrifices. Yeah, it's pretty disgusting. That's an unsanitary practice.
He's got a surplus of that, too, I'm sure.
I'd like to be that guy. That flings blood because you get less blood on you that way.
Yeah.
It's like,
You get good at it. You don't get any of the backlash.
Oh, it'd
you
be
know?
The job of the – it'd be one of the best jobs there other than if you had to collect the blood. But I'm sure that's someone else's job.
Keeping people it fresh, like. Too. It's a good thing it's a cold country.
Yeah.
Ugh. So he's listing all the gods that they in their pantheon, right? And he's going around and he's flicking the blood on everybody. He's doing it, you know, down the line, and then he hesitates before flicking Athelstan with blood. He has a questioning look on his face when he looks at Athelstan. And then we move on to the next scene, and we have Bjorn questioning Athelstan about, do you know who this god is? And Athelstan's like, of course, who wouldn't know?
Well, maybe
it's obviously Thor.
I just thought of something. Maybe the clothes were intentionally to make him stand out as an English person. That's why they were so ridiculous.
I was going to ask you guys, do you think when he got to him, did he do that because of his clothes? Because his features don't look Scandinavian because he's English.
And he's short.
Yeah, and he's short. Or because he saw something in his eyes that had to do with – because everybody else there is almost in this constant state of rapture because they're in the place where their gods are the most present. And this person doesn't believe, or at least, you know, doesn't – might not believe completely.
See, I think the clothes and the look are the combo, because if you had dressed him up, maybe done a little braid to him.
We had a little braid going
on. Give him a goofy haircut. You know, I mean, a little more, like really – dress him like a Viking. He might not have hesitated as quickly, but I think it could be also the look in his eye of what am I doing here.
He had a Robin Hood cape on.
Yeah.
Yeah, the choice really have, of
I didn't even notice the cape.
It was a green cape, and I mean it came out to here, but you know,
so it was a Lando cape,
the choice.
Isn't Lando's like navy? But yeah, it was like dark green. Like Robin Hood.
Yeah, see, I think he was intentionally like...
Athelstan's like, this deal's getting worse all the time.
Yeah, who knows, man? I mean, he definitely stopped. Yeah, I think it was intentional.
I'm just trying to figure out if, like, the casting and, the people in the department of the costume department basically said, like, we need to make it obvious that he doesn't fit in. Yeah. So that way we have probably a plausible reason for this priest at Uppsala to not flick the blood on him, like, right away. I don't know. But we can move on. It's a minor point.
You need extra.
I mean, we understand.
Blood for the bad clothes.
Yeah. Punishment.
So, like I said, Bjorn questions Athelstan, and Athelstan knows the answer. He knows it's Thor. Lagertha prays to Frey, and she asks for Frey to fill her with seed and give her a son. And she says, you know, do what you will with me, but give me a son before it is too late.
Well, she's really trying hard to please her husband and to, you know, because she knows how important it is to him. And I feel bad for her in this scene.
Yeah.
Not just at this
she's
part,
pleading.
But also
later.
Yeah, later.
Maybe that's why we'll talk about it later. Sorry.
Yeah.
We'll have a pretty decent spoiler section this episode, I think.
Yeah. So Bjorn prays to Odin to grow wise and strong. Ragnar prays to Odin, and he wants to understand his will. He wants to know if it is true that he is to have more sons, as the seer has said. And he asks Odin to accept his sacrifice and show him who will bear his sons.
I didn't like this scene at all, because to me, Ragnar's always been – we talked about the whole ambition aspect over the last couple of episodes and everything. I don't want to rehash it too much, but I felt like he started out unambitious, or at least not ambitious in that direction. And then because of the actions of the Earl Haraldson, he had to become more ambitious. But now I feel like he's taking what the seer said and he's really taking it to heart.
Yeah.
And he's going, okay, well, I have to have these sons because they're going to go into great things and I'm going to do great things. And if this chick's not going to have them because she's barren now or whatever's happening, who's going
to
do it for me? You know, so he's looking at his marriage and the vows of faithfulness that they would take to each other as an impediment to
Well, see, I don't think he looks at his marriage that way, though. I think he just wants more sons. I just think it's that important that he wants a herd. You know, he wants a lot of kids.
So Siggy and Rolla are happy to be there together. Rolla asks Helga if she has ever been there and if she knows what to expect. Because this is Helga's first time. So he's also suggesting that some mysterious activities take place later. And Flukey asks Helga if the food is ready yet because he's hungry. And she says, he's always hungry. And he says, yes, but not always for food.
That's not something an uncle says.
No, it is something an uncle says. Oh. Uncle Pervy. No.
Yeah.
He's not pervy.
Well, really, his perviness is just directed at her, so it's not really perviness. I mean,
it's not.
When you're a pervert, it's just this wide angle spray. It's not. It's not directed at like
true.
One person. It's just everybody gets your creepiness. Yeah,
everybody's all.
Just steer That's clear of that blood. Guy. What's he flicking over there?
Oh, hello, Clarice. You have something hanging from your ear.
That was such a sick scene.
Ugh. Great movie, though.
Yeah. Okay. There's some howling and laughing that's heard from outside. It is Ragnar and others. He enters the tent in excitement and asking his children if they feel the gods, if they feel that the gods are present.
They aren't, but Death Eaters are. We've got to go. No.
Yeah.
It has a Halloween feel, I guess, just because of the howling. But
well, yeah, the whole blood and
I felt like it had a Halloween feel as well. I didn't say so, but when I was watching it last night, it felt like that because it's just that excitement that because I really get into Halloween. We do, and it's like it's just that vibe, that feeling. You're excited and you're celebrating all of these the darker side of things that you don't indulge in the rest of the year, really.
Gita asks Lagertha if she's experienced all this before, and Lagertha says yes, and the gods granted her every desire, and she looks toward Ragnar and Bjorn significantly, like they were what was granted to her. And Lagertha in some ways is, also putting more emphasis on sons, just like Ragnar, because being with Ragnar is what makes her happy. And so Gita is kind of...
Well, he says, too, that we've tried, so I don't think it's a new thing that he wants sons. I really don't, because he's like, well, we've been trying. I think even if he had just stayed a farmer and a fisherman, he wanted multiple.
I think it's wrapped up in his fate because he believes the things that the seer has told him. And I don't think he thinks that his fate could have.
He needs to have the seer wash his hands.
Yeah.
Maybe he might not believe everything. There's no telling.
There hasn't been a lot of hand licking this season.
Thank God.
Next scene, Athelstan walks around the grounds and he asks, what is all of this? And he's gesturing toward the livestock. There is 9 of every type, and Ragnar tells him they are for sacrifice. And then Athelstan asks about the empty pen, and Ragnar says they are for humans.
Why
and
are there
nine
only
of them will
eight?
Be yet chosen. And Ragnar seems just like real serious, like, and sad as he's telling them, why? Does he know yet?
Where you need to hold on to your cell phone, your wallet.
Yeah.
But don't worry. It'll all be over
just
quick.
Just for safekeeping.
So later that evening, the Vikings lay about and snack on some shrooms.
Yeah. It's party time.
Rollo encourages Athelstan to join them in their festivities. They all laugh at him as he chews the mushroom. Theory looks at him somewhat suggestively.
You shouldn't have eaten that much. No.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
She gives him the finger suggestion because she's got like this cup and her finger starts to go boom, 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 boom.
Like drink. Like, I think she's telling him you need to drink something. Yeah, after he chewed up the mushroom because he has that look on his face like, oh, what did I just eat? You're not eating them for taste.
Mm-mm. Yeah, you definitely Swallow need to drink after those.
Yeah, because they probably didn't wash the poo off them.
Dirty Vikings.
So later, after dusk, Lagertha tells Ragnar that she heard King Horik will be attending. Ragnar desires to meet him. They eat as a family while the rest are partying outside. He keeps looking towards the door, and he's eating really fast.
Oh, yeah, he's like...
Yeah, because he burns his mouth in the first mouthful. He's like...
Oh, like a kid who wants to go out to play.
The kids are even looking at him like, what are you doing?
And Lagertha sees this, and she says, you want to go out there, don't you?
Duh. I wanted to go out there. I wasn't even there.
She asks him to please stay. Why can't you stay?
See, he should have just eaten them and then been like, well, I didn't even know what I was eating. Next thing I know, it's morning. I'm so sorry. Just saying.
It was Rollo. Rollo gave me like...
Rollo would have totally fucking... I just wanted to see how I'd take it. Man. You just went crazy. It's my fault.
I just went outside to get some herring. And then the next thing I know...
So Athelstan is definitely under the influence, and he looks so foolish walking around. I've been picking on him all episode, but he really does. And he's walking around observing the pairing off that is happening. There are some groupings as well, not just pairing. Ragnar approaches him and looks at him, like, seriously, and then he walks off.
You but are this wasted. Is, that's the serious look.
I think he's looking at him like, he knows he's about to offer him a sacrifice. And
wait, what? No, I'm kidding.
Well, you know, this scene kind of reminded me of in Dune. They don't ever go into great detail about it, but the Fremen have the siege orgy where they all get high. Yeah, and it kind of reminded me of that. So I wonder if Frank Herbert was taking a little bit of – I mean, there might be other historical examples of shenanigans like this going on, but I don't know. But that's what it kind of you know, struck me as, when, you know, taking the drugs. And I mean, he could have been alluding to Roman stuff or whoever else.
Yeah, I'm sure it's everywhere in every culture.
Sex is fun, okay?
Yeah.
Sex and drugs. Not just rock and roll. So Ragnar approaches him, looks at him, walks off. Siggy sits alone, and Athelstan sees this, you know, and she doesn't look happy. I felt bad for her.
Not me.
But she kind of averts her gaze.
Yeah.
I think she knows too, and she's just like, they lock gazes a minute because you're looking at her from his point of view, mm-hmm. and then she kind of like turns her eyes away.
Yeah, oh, it was, you know, you've got people like in a party situation. If you're like there alone, and if you see somebody, you know, you're going to latch onto them, mm-hmm. be like, hey,
buddy. So if you don't look, it's like, don't come.
But if you're not in the mood for company because you're pissed mm-hmm. off about something, you know, you're going to look like Siggy, you know?
Yeah, well, you got to think, she was an Earl's wife not too long ago. She'd be having fun right now with her husband, you know, having,
yeah.
but no.
But Rolo's over there with some blonde Viking chick. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Well, they're not really a couple yet, so Rolo's not at fault here.
He pleads his case.
Blame it on the mushrooms.
Yeah.
I took some mushrooms. Next thing I know, I'm in bed with her. It's not my fault. It was the next day. It's Ragnar's fault.
Blame it on the rain.
Oh, no.
We see Athelstan run through a gamut of emotions. I do not envy him at all.
he went through everything. There's like elation, fear, high anxiety, like worry, and then happiness again, and then, you know.
Happiness that was tainted, though. I mean,
and no one to bring
almost like
to
a manic
ledge.
Depressive thing. Like mm-hmm. he goes from all the way up to all the way down.
Well, they just feed it to him and leave him alone.
Yeah, nobody's there as like a spiritual guide or whatever. There's
were
no
straight,
handbook for this.
They were straight fucking with him.
Yeah, here you go.
It's already like weird to be
Christian
on
does.
Shrooms, right? It's already weird, and then you're not even in your culture, and then there's like. Sacrifice is about
all
to
kinds
happen
of stuff
and like
on.
Crazy sexual stuff that you're not used to. I mean, that would be just so
he probably well
twisted.
You gotta think too, he might be a virgin still, and you know, he might have just not ever thought about some of the things they were doing. So
then look at their priests. You can mm-hmm. imagine being on that and then seeing the priests like walking around.
Oh, I know those
and then
dudes.
The seer comes up to you, you yeah. know, that would suck.
What's wrong with these people?
Faces are maimed. Okay. So Leif approaches Athelstan and tells him that he must finish his journey that he has begun. Athelstan, because he helps Athelstan up because Athelstan has fallen down. And Athelstan says that if Leif lets him go, he will fall again. And Leif says, no, the gods will hold you. And he walks away from a still standing Athelstan. It's kind of a cool moment.
Served.
Athelstan next encounters Ciri, and she has been waiting for him. She kisses him. Geeta approaches Lagertha as she lays sleeplessly. Geeta has started her period. Lagertha is proud of her, and she wants to hug her one more time because now she has to start to let her go. I like that scene.
Sleepless in Uppsala. Yeah, I like that scene, too. It's touching, you know. And I feel bad for both of them that Ragnar's not there. You know, he wouldn't have wanted to be around for that particular thing, I'm sure. But,
yeah,
you know,
sure he would.
Yeah, this, you know, it's like... A lot of dads these days would probably be like, you need to go talk to your mom, you know? I mean, I'm pretty sure I would probably say that. If we had a kid, be like, that's great. Now, go talk to your mom. But just to be, you know, around.
Why are you telling me this?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't let my dad know.
Yeah, like,
that's so weird.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking
why?
About.
Why? Why are you telling me?
So Ciri bathes Athelstan. He asks, why does she do this? And she tells him that she has to. And he looks perplexed. Did they do it?
Yes.
I hope so.
I think this bathing scene is post-coital.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's supposed to be implied. I don't know why they wouldn't show us that, because
it's on History Channel.
It's, well, yeah, it's on History Channel, so it's not a particularly explicit show when it comes to, you know, showcasing the sexuality.
But they do show stuff.
But they do show, they do let you know that people are having sex, and they didn't have that scene. And I'm
maybe
wondering
they didn't have
why,
the time,
but
it had to get cut.
I strongly feel like they did
happens.
It. Yeah, you're probably right about that, but I feel like they did it. I feel like that it did happen. So
I hope so. At least as a pity sex for the guy that's about to get.
Well, maybe you can't be sacrificed if you're
like
a virgin.
Really bad sex.
You know. Yeah. Some cultures sacrifice only virgins, and some, maybe the Vikings, it's like you have to come to it willing. Yeah, you have to come to it willingly, and you have to have a little bit of worldly experience. Mm-hmm. And you know,
that makes sense.
I don't know. It's all speculation.
I mean,
because they didn't show it.
They're sleeping with their friends' servants before they send them on the graves.
Yeah.
So they're definitely not worried about them being virgins.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, because we were talked about that a few episodes back. That poor girl had to sleep with half the town.
Yeah.
You
it's
know?
Awful.
And then she got to die. So she could go be with her master in the afterlife. Yay.
I'm not exactly sure the messages they were sending her to tell him, but it just doesn't make sense to me. Just an excuse to have sex.
Yeah.
So next morning, while the Vikings are sleeping and laying about, a man walks with a rooster in his arms. He walks into the priest's sleeping bunk or house or whatever.
Here comes a rooster.
And he throws the rooster at the sleeping priest. They get up and begin to beat on him when the man outside comes in and says, "Fools, this is King Horik."
So and they abruptly stop.
Yeah.
But he doesn't seem to hold a grudge. He expected that treatment, and he just kind of smiles and walks away.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
It's an interesting introduction of King Horik. It makes him very prankster-like.
Mm-hmm.
Like the god Loki, maybe?
Possibly.
So Athelstan is walking about outside and sees that there are some men in the sacrifice pen.
That sucks.
Ragnar approaches the Athelstan along with Floki and says that he wants Athelstan to meet someone. The someone is King Horik.
They paid a big red nine on him.
King Horik has heard a lot about Ragnar, how he killed Earl Haraldson and defeated a king of England. Ragnar has also heard of King Horik and his feats. He also has heard that King Horik is good to his people, and therefore Ragnar offers his fealty. This surprises Floki. King Horik seems suspicious. He hesitates, but then accepts his fealty. Ragnar wants to send bigger raiding, and he wants to know what Ragnar wants in return for this fealty. And Ragnar says that he wants to send bigger raiding parties to the west. Ragnar tells King Horik of the fables of Francia, a land far richer than England. And he has Athelstan.
In people and riches.
And he has Athelstan tell King Horik of what he has seen. King Horik is more interested whether or not Athelstan is still a Christian. And then King Horik agrees to aid Ragnar. He says he is not normally interested in individual enterprise, but he wants his name attached to Ragnar's further glories.
Now, you know how you just said that Floki was surprised that he's gave fealty.
Mm-hmm.
It made me think, is Ragnar the only one in his village that isn't like, charge, fight, you know? Because, you know, we made jokes about Rollo, but maybe all of his close friends are the charge in head first type, you know what I mean?
Like diplomacy is just...
yeah, dumb.
This was a calculated move on Ragnar's part.
Oh,
you
genius.
Make an ally out of the king. You know what I mean? And he's the king of all the earls, so he's the top dog. So it's kind of like, this guy's complimenting you. So instead of puffing up your chest and being like, that's right, I deserve all these accolades, you go, well, thank you for saying that, but I would like to pledge my fealty to you.
Yeah,
that's smooth right there. That's really – because you're accepting that compliment and you're saying, yeah, everything you heard's correct. But I work for you.
Yeah, I heard you're a great king. He even gets compliments back.
And then all what that's going to get you is, you know, permission and leeway.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a good move.
I just think all of his friends are.
You're right, though. Yeah, he does seem to be one of the only people who's thinking with any kind of nuance.
Mm-hmm.
Next scene, Siggy confronts Rollo about his sleeping around. She thought they came to Uppsala together. He wants to know why she keeps pestering him. He says he is who he is, and he will not change, not for her, not for Ragnar, not for anyone. He tells her to leave if she wants, but one day he will be a great man, and she will regret leaving him.
Mm-hmm.
She counters him with a snap, but why aren't you with King Horik?
Ooh.
Yeah.
like your brother is. Oh, you didn't even know about it? You didn't even know King Horik was here? Well, I could have told you.
Yeah, because I already slept with him twice.
Yeah. Now, this is significant of a... twice. Yeah, twice. And I'm going to do it more, yeah, but twice.
I'm out, fist bump.
Yeah. I'll see you later. But, like, this is... this is letting you see that, you know, Stardust has got it going on, and she keeps her ear to the ground. You know what I mean? Rolo doesn't
She's
even
very
know that
observant.
His, yeah, Rolo doesn't even know that his own brother is visiting with the freaking king. She knows about it, you know, and she knows he wasn't invited, and she's like, "So, what are you doing right now, loser?" You know.
So she says she could have told him of King Horik's visit, and she points this out, saying that he needs her. So he better. So she made that dog heal right then and there.
Mm-hmm. You were so dumb.
Stupid Rolo.
He doesn't have a comeback for that because she's right.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, if he does want to be, because he's always talking about, well, one day I'm going to be a great man and you're going to wish you were still with me if you leave right now. And she's like, actually,
why would I wait till one day?
You're going to be a great man because you listen to me, you know, is what she's implying at least.
So now we have King Horik and Ragnar playing a game called Hnefatafl.
Falafel?
Hnefatafl.
Sounds made up.
It's actually spelt Hnefatafl.
And where'd you get the pronunciation from?
From a Twitter page, the Hnefatafl Twitter page. They follow us, we follow them, and I wrote to them and asked them for the pronunciation, and they also posted a short article about it. And
I'll have to go on there and check it out. Is it at NoShip? Is it linked through it that way?
Yes. Okay. Yes. And the game apparently has it's a strategy game like chess, but you don't play it like chess because actually you have two players, and the center of the board is one person. They dominate that, and they have the king and some men. Not a lot of men. Mm-hmm. And I just read briefly about this,
so I'm sure I'm going to.
And then on the outside, on all four sides, you have the other opponent, and they don't have a king, but they have an army. And so the object of the game is to take out the king, and the king actually has to try to basically get out and maybe take over a side.
That's awesome.
So obviously I don't know a lot, but I know that.
Sounds like fun.
Much.
Yeah.
And there's been various versions of the game, and I think last episode we saw Gita and Bjorn playing a game, and there's another one that's similar to backgammon, and I think that's what they were playing, because the tafel part of the word means table, so they're table games.
Nice. Anyway. Like Viking checkers.
So they're playing that, and King Horik drinks to Ragnar's good fortune. He then admits that he is anxious to make use of Ragnar's skill and reputation ASAP.
Yeah.
Now, this is King Horik we know here.
Yeah, he's already worried.
What have you done for me lately? Mm-hmm.
He talks of this guy named Jarl Borg, and it's a land dispute issue. This Jarl Borg has been making threats, and he wants Ragnar to meet with this Borg as his emissary, as King Horik's emissary. Okay, so we set that up. Athelstan is again walking around the grounds of the temple when he encounters a seer. Is it the seer from Kattegat? Because this one's missing an eye.
I don't know. It looks like the same guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, does every location or village have one of these just jacked up looking
Is the seer
dudes?
From Kattegat missing an eye?
He never opens his eyes. He's always like...
I think it's the same guy.
It's massive scar tissue.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought, well, they probably maim themselves across the eyes because they're prophets, so they want to like cloud them. Their vision with vision.
Yeah, so yeah, it's like a symbolic gesture. I can't see, but I can see.
Right.
But what are the odds that like they would maim themselves in the exact same way and look the exact same way?
I think it's the same one.
Yeah, it's got to be the same one, just because I mean the lips and everything and.
I wish he's okay if he doesn't do the toothsome smile. When the toothsome smile happens,
he's
it's
supposed
like
to be,
Jesus.
Yeah, funky. Yeah. I mean, he is. He's supposed to be nasty. That's why the lick hand is so disgusting. Maybe if he showed his hands, we would know for sure.
Yeah.
If there's like super snail trailing. So Athelstan is told to follow, and he follows the seer to the temple. The priest inside asks Athelstan if he has come of his own free will. You know, Ragnar kind of tricked him at the beginning in that.
Yeah.
Smooth Ragnar. Athelstan says yes. The priest admits that he was once suspicious of Athelstan, but that after he talked to Ragnar, he learned Athelstan's story. He wants to know if Athelstan is still not a Christian, and he makes Athelstan deny his Christianity 3 times. Why do you think he did that?
Isn't there some sort of like law with the Vikings or a lot of ancient cultures where you have to either confirm or deny something 3 times before it can be accepted?
I've heard that also.
So it's like a magical, like,
yeah, well, you can't deny it if you said it 3 times.
Yeah, it carries some weight because anybody can say yes or no 1 time and then regret it.
Mm-hmm. But, and they'd be like, I didn't say that. Well, if everybody heard you say it 3 times, then you definitely heard it.
And then maybe that's where the saying third time's a charm comes in. I don't know. Like I said, all speculation, but it's possible.
And then when he says it the third time, it sounds
very
weak.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like he's like, no.
And the priest reveals why Athelstan has been brought here. And this horrifies Athelstan, of course. The priest then discovers the cross on Athelstan's wrist because Athelstan reaches for it and he quickly sees what he's doing. The seer meets with Ragnar and his people, telling them that Athelstan is not an acceptable sacrifice because he is not a believer. Ragnar whispers to Athelstan that it looks like your god finally came through for you.
You're dead to me.
So I think that reinforced Athelstan's face.
Oh, for sure.
It reinforced his face. It reinforced his faith. But now Ragnar and his people may be in jeopardy because they have no sacrifice. And after, you know, viewing all the potential candidates, we see in the end that Leif offers himself, which sucks because I liked him.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't Arne about to stand
out? Yeah, he was about to stand. And you notice Arne wasn't wearing his eye patch, so that must be, like, a requirement in Uppsala. Like, you have to be completely
who you are.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why Homeboy opened one of his eyes finally. I told you I can open it.
I would say Gelfling.
Is her name like Ogra?
Ogra.
Ogra.
Love that movie.
I just remember noticing how long her breasts were. When they're like down to her knees.
They were way down past her knees.
And then she had to pull the eyeball out. Mm-hmm. It's like, all right, that's it. She's love scary. It.
Yeah. She was really scary. So good. I love the Dark Crystal.
Yes, so in the end, Leif offers himself. He desires to be sacrificed for the sake of his family, for the sake of his friends.
For the sake of my band.
For all humans in Midgard. He looks forward to it joyfully.
He looks like Woody Harrelson would look like if he was a Viking.
Yeah.
Right.
So, next scene, the sacrifice ritual begins. The sacrificial offerings are being prepared by being groomed prior to the deed. The goat's feet are tied up. And then a woman starts to sing beautifully as the blood begins to run. King Horik does the honors. And when it is finally Leif's turn, he looks at his friends and quietly says goodbye.
They all nod their approval.
He is then sacrificed, and we see Athelstan shed tears. Later, we see the sacrifices hanging, and the observers are reverently silent, and there's no music.
Now, I have a question about that. Like, we were told at the beginning that there was going to be 9 of everything, but we only ever see 3 people get sacrificed and 3 people hanging upside down.
And maybe they spread them out into different areas so you can.
Is that just, like, just those? We were just privy to those 3, or was there only 3 sacrificed? Or
I think we're just privy to those 3. It's probably like economy. Yeah. And also just giving. It's also suggestive. It's like impressionistic take on it.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's like. The Catholics have Jesus on the cross to remember and all that. Maybe they leave him up hanging in their own area so you can really appreciate the sacrifice for what it is.
And, you know, that's a good point that you bring up Jesus Christ because I was wondering, you know, we say that Athelstan's faith or face, however you want to say it, was reaffirmed by the fact that, you know, like Ragnar said, oh, it looks like your God saved you, and inadvertently at least anyway. But, it was more like his own crisis of faith saved him, but if you're, you know, but anyway, it doesn't really matter. But
that's true.
The whole point, I think, of this whole thing, I mean, could he be looking at, from Athelstan's point of view, you know, Jesus Christ, who was the Son of God, died for everybody's sins in the, you know, the doctrine of the Catholic religion or the Christian religion altogether. Now, he's seeing 3 people, at least, if not 9, sacrifice themselves willingly, you know what I mean, to make sure that their people are going to, you know, live and prosper. And have
blessings from the gods.
Right. So, I mean, do you wonder, I mean, one has to wonder if this isn't, you know, pretty impressive to him. being a Christian because they build their faith around one person doing that,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he just watched nine people do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, what kind of, you know, what does he take away from that? And how
there's
that
no telling
him?
How well, what would be going on in the mind of a priest during that, especially Athelstan. You know, I mean, I don't know. I think he's gained so much respect too, you know, for the Vikings, and it's just hard to say exactly how he takes it. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Em?
I don't know. I really don't know. I feel like there's more to come on that, and I think he's probably still waiting to see what he thinks on that, because I think he needs to have even more things revealed to him. So, that's all I can say about that.
Yeah, we'd have to save it for the spoiler section anyway.
Definitely. All right, so any more on this episode?
No, I think that was it.
Okay, well, so...
Oh, wait, there is one more thing. Uppsala is in Sweden, because that's where the actual present-day city is.
Mm-hmm.
And the other Earl that was married for a short time to Thierry.
Bjarni. You
know, Bjarni.
Huh.
He was from Sweden too, right? Because mm-hmm. he was like, he is an Earl, he's a Swede. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like he had to travel a good distance to get there, and they had to travel a good distance to get to Uppsala. So we're told that wherever the Vikings are is Scandinavia, as a mm-hmm. generic term, so we can assume it's not Sweden, or else it's, well, it can't be then. So
no.
What are we thinking, mm-hmm. Norway?
Yeah.
Or Finland? One of the two?
I think
it has to be one of the two,
I think predominantly Vikings were Danish, but I don't know.
They were a sweet, tasty treat.
Then King Cork never mentioned his cousin Bjarni.
Yeah. I was wondering if that was going to come up, but it didn't.
I don't think he liked Bjarni anyway. He's probably an embarrassing cousin.
I mean, his murderer's right there, you know, but I mean, he doesn't know that.
That's probably why Squiggy kept tabs on him so quickly too. Like, is King Hort gonna gut me like a fish too?
My daughter killed this guy's cousin. Let's play this cool.
No, she did it.
And now she's off sleeping with a Catholic priest.
Yeah. Jeez.
One thing I want to mention real quick, that one of the things I came across in my reading about sacrifice is that it wasn't just us little people who would be sacrificed. If shit was really bad, like the weather just was inclement, crops were failing constantly, and all their sacrifices hadn't proven to give them the blessings they were looking for. It wasn't the roles and chiefs and things like that. They would also have to, because they would be considered like
the more valuable of a sacrifice.
Exactly. So I just wanted to throw that out.
That's awesome. Everybody gets a chance.
Right, at least it's spread around. It's a little more fair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm not sure if it was all volunteer. But.
Yeah, I doubt many earls would volunteer to do that unless they were just super old and didn't have anything
to live for. Or like
Bjarni. I don't know, but the way they view death, it could very well be.
That's true, yeah.
It's just hard to wrap our heads around because we haven't grown up in that worldview.
Thank God.
Yeah, we're brought up to fear death, not to think it's going to be some great reunion with.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we have hopes and everything, but it's not instilled in our. Half of us probably think we're going to hell anyway, so.
Yep.
So anyway, that's it. I'm Em.
And I'm Steve.
And I'm Paul.
And we're moving on to spoiler section.
Spoilers.
Music shall play now.
Bye.
All right, so spoilers. Do you guys have anything you wanted to talk about right off the bat? I know we were going to talk about...
Athelstan?
Yeah.
I think this is the turning point for Athelstan. I think there is some significance. We couldn't talk about it too much. I mean, I did talk about it a good bit, but I think there is some significance to the fact that he's part of a religion that celebrates the sacrifice of one person.
Mm-hmm.
But here is multiple people being sacrificed, and it's just kind of taken in stride. And he's like, wow, what, you know.
I think at this point in season two, I think he's taking both religions and he's finding value in both of them. So
season
I can't,
one or season?
That's what season two.
Oh, season
so that's
two.
Why,
oh, okay.
Like when you were proposing that idea during the regular part of the cast, the recap, I didn't want to say that. So I think he's still waiting for, you know.
Well, do you guys think that he would have ever even considered becoming part of the Viking religion?
It seems like the beginning of season two that he might have been possibly.
Yeah.
But, you know.
After rewatching, you know, the last few episodes, I don't think he ever did. I think he's just that much. And knowing later that, you know, he's just a scholar. I think he's just curious and wants to see what makes these people tick. I don't think he ever actually intended on it, but maybe, you know, might have swayed a little bit. Because even when he goes to Uppsala, he's got his cross. They show him reading out of the Bible before he goes. I just don't think he ever had the intention. I just think he was curious on the whole situation.
Yeah.
That's just me, though, just on rewatch. Because I remember at the beginning of season two, you know, they do make you question whether or not. And even when he's captured and he sees the crow and... You know, the demon, you know, I don't know. It's pretty cool. I wanted to see what happens in season three with him.
I guess, like, for me to say that his faith was reaffirmed was probably incorrect because I think he's still in a crisis of faith throughout season two.
Yeah.
Yeah, because when he had it wasn't his faith necessarily that saved him. It was a crisis of faith because he's making, like, this overture of you know, or pretending at least to kind of be ostensibly part of this Viking faith, but then he's still carrying his cross up his sleeve, you know, like, literally up his sleeve.
So, yeah, maybe not ever intentionally, but then kind of falls into it unwillingly, you know?
That's got to be tough, though, you know, to have everything. Because, I mean, he is questioning his Christian faith at the very least.
They tell you not to read out of the Necronomicon, and people always do.
Yeah.
And then the dead come back alive. So
the other spoiler was just Lagertha praying to Frey. She asks for a son. Says, do what you will with me. So, obviously, she's going to lose Geeta because of this whole thing. I think that's what sets the whole plague in motion.
Yes.
And we're going to...
But she doesn't give Gita's, him... another son, though, so there's no reciprocation.
She's given Bjorn first episode next season. Bjorn goes with her. I think that's how she gets her son. It's not necessarily how you want it to be, but you still get what you ask
that's
for.
That's why you ask for 2,000 pounds of corn.
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta be very specific.
So careful what you wish for, because you just might get it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Huh. That's interesting. I didn't really ever look at it that way. That's pretty neat. She does get her son. But, because I was looking at it from the fact that she doesn't get pregnant with another son, at least not by Ragnar at this point that we
or
know
that
of.
Other dude.
But, and yeah, it could also be a punishment on Ragnar for always praying for sons and sons and sons and then taking his daughter for granted. Because, I mean, it's not like he's in a society where they look down on women. Women are pretty highly regarded.
But there doesn't seem to be too much of a balance to it, because what does Geeta get out of it except dead?
Well, you know.
I'm not saying there has to be a balance to it, but you try to find it.
Yeah, I mean, she died of sickness, too. That doesn't bode well for her, as far as afterlife goes.
Yeah, they all get sick after Uppsala. Maybe there was a little too much hanky-panky going around.
Yeah.
Something got mixed.
It was Rollo's fault. Cheating on Siggy.
Yeah.
I don't think he cheated on her. I mean,
he's
they weren't
the
exactly
monkey.
A couple yet.
But she thought they were, because she was giving
even
them the
though
what
they
for.
Just met in that shed, like, they're...
Months have gone by. Listen to the words coming out of my mouth.
Well, did he ever say they were a couple? They might have just been friends.
He's that type of dude who would be having sex with a girl forever, pretty much. And then, you know, they're not a couple until he's already decided that he, you know, he's had all the other sex he wants to have, you know.
Which, I mean,
which I never even
ample
thought about.
All the time. There's never
him.
It doesn't go away.
You think he took that in consideration when he found out Horik had been sleeping with Siggy? Because he does stick with her afterwards, like, okay, we're even.
She didn't leave.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know.
And he doesn't leave. Yeah, I don't know.
It all started at Uppsala with them and Horik.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think there's going to be some more cheating next episode.
Were you
next
fucking
season.
Him in Uppsala?
Yeah. How far does this go back? How did you know he was there?
Yeah. He's like, how far do we go back?
Yeah.
Because I want to know.
This would have been another good episode with a power ballad in it.
Yeah.
The whole Uppsala scene would have been awesome.
Well, the song they had on there was awesome.
Yeah, it was.
I'm actually going to use it as our spoiler section music. I already have it downloaded.
Sweet. Transition music.
Yes.
Well, the other stuff I want to talk about, we're kind of talking about it anyway, is Ragnar's unraveling into being kind of a general douchebag for the next couple of episodes, the end of this season into the beginning of the next season.
Yeah.
And the next episode is where it really...
Yeah, it's just a...
Foments.
He's just kind of like, yeah, who's going to bear me my sons, you know? And he's I just don't like it.
Because I like... Focus on something else.
Yeah, well, I like Lagertha as a character so much. And, you know, it's
makes
it's
it
just,
even harder to swallow.
Yeah, it's harder to swallow. And it's just being greedy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, we all know... This, like, really makes it... We know Ragnar is a poon hound.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if the sons just might be a cover...
I don't think so.
To get poon all the time?
I don't think so.
No, but it could be.
Because he wasn't hounding for poon before.
But look at the second season. She's flat out telling him, no, I need a couple days. And he's like, come on.
Yeah.
Come on, let's do it.
He's like, we got to make some. Got to make some. Right now.
Yeah, because I already have three, and that's just
OCD
not enough.
About kids.
Yeah.
No.
Because look how he looks at other kids. So
yeah.
It's not pervy. It's just...
No, it's not vain.
Better not.
It's just...
We started watching The Beast a little bit last night, the Patrick Swayze television show that he's in, that Travis Fimmel's in.
Hmm. Yeah, I didn't even recognize him for the first, because she goes, all right, close your eyes. And we just watched two episodes of Vikings, and then she was like, close your eyes, I don't want you to see who's in this. And I look up, and it's that show, The Beast. It's the last thing Swayze did before he died.
Yeah.
Check it out.
And it's like undercover FBI agents, and he's partners with Ragnar. You know, but he's like clean shaven. He looks younger.
Haircut.
Yeah, haircut.
He still has he has a faux hawk though.
Mm.
He does.
Yeah, it's not as bad as you make it sound, but it's
it is a faux hawk.
It's a metro haircut for sure, but it's like.
And you couldn't tell it was him right away?
I couldn't.
He didn't know because we watched it for like 5 minutes and I was like, he looks better as a Viking. You're like.
I'm thinking.
Who was that?
Patrick Swayze was never a Viking.
Patrick Swayze's dead.
Yeah. He's in Valhalla. You know, he's not. But
there's no Vikings in
like, then, Ragnar.
Then she fast forwards to the next scene that has him in it, and I'm just like, oh, okay. Shit. And then you can tell.
Yeah.
And even when he talks, you can tell. Yeah.
Does he have a weird accent? Like, what's
he's
his
doing
name
an
on?
American fucking... accent, but you can hear a little bit of the Australian.
Can he not say family? Yeah.
Family.
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 Nah, he hasn't.
Family.
Do you guys see that picture on Twitter? I think I saved it. It's a parody on Sons of Anarchy and Doctor Who.
No. What?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
That's it.
All right. See you later.
Peace.
Oh, wait. Next episode is called...
Ragnar Kicks Ass.
Okay. All Change.
All right. Change.
Bye.
Spare change.
This was a No Ship Network podcast brought to you by Esoteric Studios and Axolotl Tank Productions.